The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
The Nonprofit Voice is a premier radio program featuring nonprofits on Long Island every Saturday morning. For the past 6 years, we have learned about, been inspired by, and celebrated hundreds of nonprofits in our community. The Nonprofit Voice is produced by Marketing Works, the only full-service marketing and public relations firm that works almost exclusively with nonprofit agencies. We pride ourselves on our reputation in creating strategic marketing and public relations campaigns, successful virtual, hybrid, and live events, as well as powerful social media and digital campaigns. As the leaders in nonprofit marketing, no other agency understands the industry as we do, and we are committed to the success of each and every one of our clients. Marketing Works hopes you enjoy this week's featured nonprofit.
Good morning, this is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is A Nonprofit Voice, and today's featured nonprofit is the Child Care Council of Nassau. And I am lucky enough to have the new executive director, How many years has it been?
2 years.
Two years. So it's
not
still
as new.
It's still new. Her name is Joy Connolly, and it's nice to have someone as young as her on the radio with me. Joy, you are celebrating, not you, but now, but the council is celebrating their 50th anniversary. And I didn't know that. Tell me about it. How did it get started, and how did it get 50 years old so fast?
We're very excited that this is our 50th year. The organization started back in 1972 with a bunch of advocates who, as women were going back to work, thought that there was an issue about how are children going to be cared for. And so they got together and brought a lot of ruckus up to Albany about needing a resource to help families navigate childcare. And we have grown and adapted since then, but still core to our mission is making sure that all families who are looking for childcare have a resource access point that they can call or email or look online to get high quality, affordable, safe options for their children.
Well, I think that's great. And is there a I know there's one in Suffolk County, but is there one in almost every county?
Yes. So we have a sister organization in Suffolk County who we do a lot of collaboration and partnership with. And we're actually part of a statewide network. So there are 35 child care resource and referral agencies throughout the state. And all of the counties in New York State are represented by one of the 35 CCRNRs, is what we call ourselves.
And unfortunately, you went to a funeral today for Suffolk County, right?
I did. The founder of Child Care Council of Suffolk, Janet Wallerstein, who is an impactful, amazing, passionate leader who did this work for over 45 years, unfortunately passed away. But her legacy, her work continues with all of us that she touched. And it was an honor to be able to be with her family and colleagues and friends this morning.
Well, how did you get involved with the council?
Great question. So I and my family relocated back to New York after I had done some graduate work in the Midwest. And a colleague of mine was consulting with Child Care Council of Nassau. And I got introduced to Jan Barbieri, who is the executive director emeritus. And she has lots of passion for this work and advocating for children. And I kind of fell in love with the staff and the work. And so consulting 2 days a week turned into being a director of education programs. And then I moved up to deputy director under her leadership. And 2 years ago was thankful that the board and Jan saw that I was able to carry on the legacy.
You know, what's interesting is that as the new younger executive directors take over, and they've been working for executive directors for years, they've had all these ideas that the older generation wasn't that excited about. But now you have the chance to do some of the things that you couldn't do. Give me an idea of what you are doing now that you couldn't do before?
Yeah, so not only is the new generation kind of leading the charge in a lot of nonprofits, but the pandemic also woke our eyes to the need to do things a little differently and to engage with families in new ways. And so one of the things that I'm excited about doing and the next 50 years is to continue to look at outreach in new ways. So families historically would be calling on the phone to reach out to Child Care Council of Nassau to get referrals for child care. But now, as we know, most of us are addicted to the little computers in our pocket. And so we need to, and not using it as a phone, as my kids only FaceTime with me. So really thinking about how are new ways to think about connecting with families through apps or through social media that are new and different and exciting, but meet families where they are.
You know, when I first met you, one of the things that you had said to me was that nobody knows about us. We're such a great hidden secret. And I said to you, that is exactly what every agency, the small ones and the big ones, say to me. You know, No one knows about us. And why is that? You know, so I said to you that you're no different than anybody else. The problem is that you're not concentrating on marketing, which is a separate area from just doing your day-to-day work every day.
It's so true. You know, we get in the nonprofit world and small nonprofits, we kind of want to just get out there and do the work. And sometimes we don't step back and take the time to really, create new avenues for our message to get out. And it's important that particularly in these times where the state and the region is reopening, that families know that there is somewhere to go to access this wraparound support, not only for child care options, but we do a lot of referrals to other agencies, and that would allow families to get on their feet and feel comfortable about leaving their most precious thing in someone else's hands while they're off at work. And so it is time for us to really put in the energy to be out there, to talk to people in new ways, and make sure that we are not the best kept secret of Nassau, but that people know that we are here and that we're here to help.
I'm speaking with Joy Connolly, the Executive Director of the Council for Nassau County Child Care Council. And, you know, you talk about you being small, you know, you're a small agency, but you're having your 50th anniversary at a place that all the major agencies have theirs. Well, what made you pick Ohika Castle? That's wonderful.
Well, thank you. And we are excited to be at Ohika Castle on November 10th. This is the first time that we're having an event there. And talking with the board and the gala planning committee, we really wanted to show that we do have a legacy of 50 years in this region of doing great work. And we thought that an experience at Ohika would reflect the legacy that we have behind us, but also really propel us into where we're going. The organization started with a very small group of women in a church basement, and we are now 30 strong with lots of partnerships and connections throughout the county. And so it's important that our gala reflects where we have been and where we're going.
Well, this will definitely make a name for yourself, that's for sure, because Ohika Castle, I look at it as three tiers of catering places, catering halls. And Ohika and Garden City are right there at the top, on the top tier. I mean, after that, you have the Heritage Club, you have Stonebridge, you have Bourne Mansion, and those are in the middle, and that's where most of them have their events. But Ohika, I'm only hearing of the bigger ones. And my major agencies, we have a public relations company that works with nonprofits, and that's where I would put my majors.
Well, again, we're super excited that we're going there. And we also know that Ohika Castle has, and their ownership has been so supportive of nonprofits, and ours included. And so it feels right for us to be there for this momentous occasion.
Did you work on the all the basics with them at Ohika? Were you the one who was involved?
Yes, and we're also working with an events planner, Marlene Prophet from Masterpiece Events, who's been really helpful in securing not only the logistics and the particulars, but really pushing us to have a grand vision for this 50th gala.
Well, I always work with Kelly. That's Gary's daughter, and she has been wonderful and very supportive. But I wanted to ask you, I mean, as a child care organization, how did COVID impact you?
Yeah, it's a great question. So there are over 900 childcare providers in Nassau County, and we support providers, like I said, throughout the county. And what we learned during COVID is that 70% of childcare providers, so of those 900 plus providers, stayed open throughout the pandemic, did not shut their doors to provide safe environments for particularly essential workers. It was so key in those first few months of the pandemic for EMTs and nurses and grocery store workers and everybody in between to be able to have a safe place for their children while they were helping us stay safe. And so child care providers really stepped up to be in that space.
We never thought of it like that, because we thought, oh, well, I guess everything's closed up in their home.
Right. And there were, you know, even programs where they weren't supporting families directly who were essential workers. You know, they were still being able to provide remote supports. So bringing food to families instead of having families drop off their kids, they could bring lunch to families who are stuck at home, or doing activity kits. They were sending in amazing pictures of dinosaur activity kits for the three-year-old classroom, and they would leave them at the front door, and families would come and pick them up and bring them home, and then they'd bring them back, and how they were sanitizing in between. So really getting creative and innovative about how to support families, because we all needed a little extra during that time.
So you talk about child care. Is it mostly preschool, or is it public school? Is it?
Yeah, great question. So child care is for children 0 through 12. And so there are different modalities of care that are licensed and regulated by the state. Most people, when they think of child care, think of a center base, so something that's in a commercial space with aged classrooms, so a toddler classroom, a infant classroom, a three-year-old classroom. But child care is all around us. There are many family child care providers, so there's adults that are providing child care in their own home, which is an amazing avenue where you have your business and your family in the same space. And then there's also school-age child care, which might happen in a school building or a community building, in a church setting or another faith-based space.
So this is Nassau County funded? Is it a product of Nassau County, or you just use Nassau County's name?
Correct. So we are a 501c3 private nonprofit. We do have a contract with the Department of Social Services in Nassau County, but we are our own entity. The Nassau name is really to specify really the region that we support, and to make sure that folks know that we are available for all children who need childcare placement in the county.
So if you started 2 years ago, that was right in the middle, right?
It was very interesting.
Must have been great for you
to start a directorship in the middle of a pandemic. But yeah, so it was October 2020, so really at the height of what was happening. And most of my staff was remote, although our agency did not close our doors. Similar to the childcare programs, we stayed open throughout, but we did have hybrid and staggered schedules for most of that beginning time.
So you met most of your staff online, right?
Yes.
Didn't they say be careful about meeting people online?
It's true. I had to learn about the boxes and the mute button with everybody else and find ways to engage and connect with my staff in this new position virtually.
Well, tell me what you're the most passionate about in your job.
So I'm really passionate about the ability to elevate and spotlight both the need for affordable, accessible childcare, but also the needs of the childcare industry. This is a workforce that is predominantly women, predominantly women of color, and has historically been really, really underpaid and underfunded. And so I'm really passionate about finding ways that we can get more public investment into this industry, because we know that families can afford more. And right now, the business model makes it so that the only kind of income coming in is those parent fees. And if parents are already strapped, it's hard for the industry to increase fees in any meaningful way. And so we just continue to reproduce this inequitable cycle. So I'm passionate that there has been a lot of talk the county level, the state level, and the federal level around childcare, and that we're going to see some big investments in this industry in the years to come.
Tell us about how many people you serve, and has it changed from pre-COVID to now? Not during COVID, we know. we'll throw that out.
So we serve all of the regulated childcare programs, which is about 1,000, a little over 900, as well as those that are looking for what we call legal exempt care. So that's like friendship, neighbor, or family care. And then all the children that are connected to that. So it could be up to 40,000 children and youth that are in care that we are providing support for every year.
So, and how many people do you have that work for you full time?
So we have 25 full-time employees and 5 part-time employees.
Are they all located in your building, the full-time employees?
They are, yes. So we are located in Garden City, and we are all there 5 days a week, 9 to 5.
So what do you think your best accomplishments so far have been?
Well, that's a great question. I think one of our newest accomplishments is we hosted a Back to Childcare event in Hempstead on August 13th. We do a lot of attending community events in collaboration and connection with other agencies, but we wanted to do something to kind of mirror the Back to School efforts that happen, to really focus on young children, because many children are going back to childcare programs, and they are in need of nap blankets and hand sanitizer and water bottles and diapers and wipes. So we were so thankful to get a sponsorship from TD Bank to offer free backpacks that included nap blankets, water bottles, and hand sanitizer. We partnered with Allied Foundation. We're able to hand out 100 bags of diapers and wipes. We partnered with Long Island Cares and handed out 100 bags of free groceries. We worked with Docs for Tots, who supports us with developmental screenings with their Help Me Grow Long Island initiative, as well as the Long Island Federal Qualified Health Centers. It was a day of connecting with families and supporting young children with resources and with tangible items that they can use the next day in childcare.
So, with the Ohika Castle event, is that kicking off the 50th anniversary? or are we in the 50th year now?
So we're in the 50th year now, and so, but it is our kind of hallmark event to really bring a celebration together, and then hopefully look towards the future to launch some new initiatives.
Well, that would be the right place to do it too, right at that event. You want to have a new website. You want to have a lot of new things, new collateral material.
Yes.
This is a time, and you should have a good video about your future put together, not a shabby one. So you're having it OHICA. You got to be there for OHICA. Just saying
that. You got to raise the level, right, Ron?
Raise the level. I wish I could be there. I have another 50th anniversary that day. Believe it or not, I can't believe it. And we looked at having it at OHICA, and we decided, since their agency has people in Queens and in Manhattan besides Suffolk County, they ended up doing it at Russo's. So we left it open for you.
Well, we appreciate that. We're excited that we are going to have a lot of fun, a lot of dancing, a lot of recognition. We have four honorees that we are looking to.
Joy, I want to thank you. We unfortunately are out of time, okay. But thank you very much. Joy Connolly from the Council from Nassau County. Thank you.
The Nonprofit Voice is a premier radio program featuring nonprofits on Long Island every Saturday morning. For the past 6 years, we have learned about, been inspired by, and celebrated hundreds of nonprofits in our community. The Nonprofit Voice is produced by Marketing Works, the only full-service marketing and public relations firm that works almost exclusively with nonprofit agencies. We pride ourselves on our reputation in creating strategic marketing and public relations campaigns, successful virtual, hybrid, and live events, as well as powerful social media and digital campaigns. As the leaders in nonprofit marketing, no other agency understands the industry as we do, and we are committed to the success of each and every one of our clients. Marketing Works hopes you enjoy this week's featured nonprofit.
Good morning. This is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is The Nonprofit Voice, and I'm here today with Juliet Hackett. She's a program manager at Warrior Ranch. And I love horses. I mean, there's nothing better than horses, but I used to, as they say, play the ponies. But that's not something that we're going to be talking about today. So welcome, Juliet, and tell me about Warrior Ranch.
Thank you for having me, Ron. Warrior Ranch is a horse rescue and a therapeutic outlet for veterans, first responders, and their family. We're located in Calverton on Long Island, and we have a six-acre ranch that we lease from Suffolk County. And there we house our four rescue horses and offer our program of natural horsemanship.
And this was started by Eileen Shanahan, who is your president, right?
Yes.
And founder. And how did she start this, and why did she start it?
She actually started it out of her backyard with her own horses. She had a couple of rescue horses herself, and all horse people know, you know, for years how horses can help us feel better and give us a way to, you know, forget about our troubles and just be in the moment with them. And she recognized, since she was from a law enforcement and first responder and military family, she recognized the need that that community has in having a place and having the experience and the opportunity to work with horses and see what they can do for you.
And you were telling me that this is good for people that have PTSD and, you know, military and firefighters and EMS workers.
Absolutely.
And probably a lot more people since COVID.
Yeah. You know, COVID was actually a great time for us to be able to tap into the nursing and, you know, the medical field as well, that, you know, they suffered from, you know, the stresses of dealing with COVID. And that was, you know, another community that we were able to, you know, to reach out and help. But it was absolutely something that, whether it's nursing or first responders or, you know, the military veteran community, it's, you know, it's a need there because there's a lot of stress and it's a very high demand job. And, you know, they need some place to go where they can kind of just be in a safe place and relax and take their mind off of their daily struggles.
And I play golf and, you know, and I go out by myself in the afternoons when no one's around.
Yeah.
And I hit the golf ball. And sometimes I put a face on the golf ball.
That's the, it's the same type of thing. You know, everybody has like their little, you know, their niche and what, you know, what gets them out of their element and, you know, able to just kind of be, you know, be at peace with yourself. And horses are a great way to do that, just like golf.
So Debbie Wetzel, who is the one who, mm-hmm. I guess she does your marketing or PR or whatever. Debbie and I used to work together, and I hate to say this, it was in 1981 or 82, and she was a news person with me at a radio station called WGBB. And when she emailed me and said, "Hi, remember me? How can I forget her?" You know, because she was so good on the radio.
Well, she's great.
And she said, "Can you do me a favor and put Warrior Ranch on the radio so I can get them some publicity?"
Thank you.
And I said, "Absolutely." So are you always looking for more horses, or is that all you can have? Is the four?
Right now, we're at capacity. You know, we have four stalls, or three stalls, actually. We have two little mini horses that came to us together. So we house them.
And they make up one?
Yeah, they make up one stall. It's big enough for the both of them. And they each stall has its own run that they can, you know, get in and out of the stall and have their own little paddock. And, you know, they're quite happy living together as, you know, we call them brothers, even though they're not brothers. But yeah, we are at capacity right now. But the purpose of the rescue side of our program is to adopt these horses in, retrain them, give them a full foundation of training so that they have the tools to be able to help their future rider or future owner in whatever they want to do with them. And once we are able to complete their training, we'll adopt them out and have that room to take in a new horse.
Oh, I see. And how long will that take?
Each horse is different. We're right now, the minis, Chimay and Butterscotch, they are actually up for adoption. So if anybody's looking for a mini, these two are great. They provide a lot of comic relief and, you know, they're really good with the kids. And, you know, for people that don't really like to be around the big horses, you know, or might be a little apprehensive about working with a big horse, if they've never been around horses before, the minis are perfect for that. And, you know, they drive carts, which is awesome. We have one of our coaches, Kathy Wilbert. She has a little cart program that she does with them, and it's really cute to see them, you know, pull you around and their little legs going.
How much time do you spend there?
Personally, I'm there about 3 days a week, 3 to 4 days a week. You know, which is kind of why we are, you know, at the point where we're looking for more funding so that we can be open 7 days a week and fully operational so that where if somebody just finds themselves, you know, driving and wants to come to the ranch, they can just show up at the ranch and we'll be ready to receive them. You know, at this time, the way that the program is set up, people have to, you know, we have days that we're always there. But if somebody needs to come down, they kind of have to reach out and kind of schedule a time for us. And we bend over backwards to make sure that we're available for anybody that wants to come. But we want it to be, you know, more of a, you just show up and we're there to receive you.
So you're a 501c3, right?
Yes.
And do you have any fundraising events to raise money?
Yes, we do. We actually have our main fundraiser. It's Harvest the East End, which is going to be at the ranch on Sunday, October 2nd. It's from 2 to 5 p.m. And tickets can be purchased on our website. It's www.warriorranchfoundation.org.
Or can they call a number?
They can. Our phone number is on our website. If you check out the website, you could purchase tickets directly there. Tickets are also available at the door, you know, on the day of the event.
But if somebody wants to find out about Warrior Ranch, what is the phone number they can call? You don't know? Go on to the website. We'll find out.
thank you.
So the other agents, the other places that I know about that work with horses, you know, horsemanship and Palomine. And Palomine, Lisa Gotti and I are very close. She's been on the radio many, many times. And we talk about how they come across for people with disabilities and how the children keep coming and they love it. Do you do anything like that?
We do. Palomine is great. And, you know, the more places that offer this type of experience to the public, the better. The ranch specifically works with veterans and first responders. We are geared towards that. Our experience is in that community, and that's where we focus our attention on. But the, you know, the mindset behind it and the foundation behind it is the same. You know, horses, they're herd animals. They communicate with each other, and humans have learned over the years in watching them, we've learned how to tap into that type of communication with them. So yes, we are very similar in how we do things.
During COVID, when people really were, money was a factor for everybody, did you see people discarding horses?
No, I wouldn't correlate COVID to a rise in getting rid of horses. They are expensive. They are absolutely expensive.
But the people that have them usually have more money that COVID really didn't affect.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, I don't know any statistics on that, but I would, having been a horse owner myself, I would do anything to make sure that my horse was fed and kept, and I'd sacrifice for my horse. So I'm sure a lot of people are doing the same.
So if you want to get a hold of Warrior Ranch, their phone number is 631-740-9049.
Thank you.
And I'm going to ask you to read that back to me now. No, I wouldn't do that to you. But anyway, so horses, like you said, they are not in great shape after a while, the ones that you get.
Yeah, and unfortunately, some horses, they get put through the ringer. One of our rescues, his name is Sully. He's a standardbred racehorse. He's a former racehorse. After he pulled the cart on the track, he pulled the cart for the Amish and somehow made his way into a kill pen at an auction. And the Standardbred Rescue Foundation was able to rescue him from that auction. And that's where we were able to acquire Sully from. And Sully is amazing. He's actually missing his right eye altogether. Some type of accident or something we don't know exactly what caused him to lose the eye. But fact is that he doesn't have an eye. And horses see, and they have monocular vision where they see out of each eye differently. So the fact that he doesn't have vision on the whole right side of his body is something that he had to learn to adapt to. And, that's something that our program has been working very hard with him. And he's come so far in just being comfortable and not, being, nervous or anxious when someone goes on that side of him where he can, he can feel comfortable. And it's been a wonderful transformation to see him get better with that.
So what happens if somebody contacts you now and says, we have a horse that needs help?
Unfortunately, we'll tell them that we don't have room, but we would direct them to a couple other horse rescues or sanctuaries that that may be able to take them in, depending on the breed or it depends on the horse and the situation. But we would refer them elsewhere.
So, were you involved with horses before Warrior?
Yes.
Ranch?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I rode.
How were you?
I rode for my whole life. My family owned a retired thoroughbred racehorse, and he was very exciting to learn how to to work with. And we ended up showing together. He was amazing. He was the best horse. And when we lost him, it was a hole was left in my heart from losing that horse. He taught me a lot, and I got to be the rider that I am because of him.
So you didn't take anybody else after that? I mean, you didn't get
no, personally,
horse.
Nope. That was, he was,
it.
Yeah, I couldn't. And, until I found Warrior Ranch, I didn't have horses in my life after I lost him. But, the need for this community of veterans and first responders to be able to learn from horses and be around them and exposed to them, I had to just, put my feelings aside. And it's been amazing to have them back in my life because, you realize that, you know, you weren't really truly who you were until you get that horse right back into you. And it's awesome.
So you're riding these horses as well, right?
Yeah, we have to ride them. Our program is centered around groundwork. But you know, the horses do need to be ridden, and you know, we will ride them ourselves, or you know, we have a couple of exercise riders that would be able to, you know, to work the horses and get them their exercise and work on them in saddle.
So you need money. Everybody needs money.
But, yeah.
But in order for you to keep doing what you're doing and even to expand and get another location, is that what you're looking for, or looking for more room?
Well, ultimately, we want to be able to, you know, to service, you know, the entire country. But right now, we need to focus on, you know, our location in Suffolk County and getting, you know, operational to where we're there 7 days a week. You know, that we also get requests.
You have to be there.
Yeah. I mean, and we get requests from veterans that live out of state, sometimes, you know, as far as California, you know, that are looking to, you know, to take part in the program. And we need to be, you know, able to get them out here, whether it's fly them out here or get them on a train or a bus or whatever we need to do. You know, we want to have the funding to be able to receive any veteran, any state, and, you know, put them up in a hotel and have them stay here and experience, you know, what life can be like when you, you know, are around horses.
Well, there is money for veterans, isn't there?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
Are you applying for grants?
Yes. Yes.
Are you the one who does it?
No, I am not the one that does
You're
it.
Not a good writer.
No. That's
writer,
not my expertise.
But not a good writer.
Nope. I stick with the horses and the veterans and first responders. That's where I'm. That's where my comfortability is.
So you have somebody writing grants?
Yes.
Now
yes, we do. For. Yes, and we are. You know, we're actively trying to, you know, to look for, you know, funding opportunities anywhere that we can. You know, we've been very, very lucky so far to, you know, receive donations from, you know, just the general public and, you know, different, you know, companies. And if it's not monetary donations, there's companies and people that have, you know, helped us in so many ways, with whether it's, you know, helping us with our outdoor arena, which the Operating Engineers Union Local 138 and Beauvais Industries and Basilico have been amazing with, you know, giving us the equipment and the manpower to be able to set that arena up. PSE&G has helped us with our perimeter fence and, you know, painting the barns, and just, you know, they've been absolutely amazing. And just the community, the Electricians Union, IBEW 25, they've helped us with a bunch of stuff. It's very heartwarming to see the, you know, the overwhelming generosity that we get from the public. But,
so you know, is it overwhelmingly veterans that you're serving?
Yes. Yeah. Because I would say the most of our participants are veterans. We do have, I would say maybe 20% are, you know, the first responders. But the majority of our program is military, and that's probably because it's a good thing that it's become acceptable to, you know, to look for these types of alternative therapies, you know, to, you know, going and sitting down in a group and talking about it, or, you know, medicating. It's, you know, this is something that the veteran community has been dealing with for many years. And we're hoping that, you know, the first responder community is comfortable enough to start to, you know, to reach out as well.
So if you get a grant from the veterans, they're going to want to know how you're serving the veterans.
Right.
And what would you say?
So if it was a grant that was specifically geared towards veterans, then we would offer that to veteran-only retreats.
Okay.
When we do a horsemanship retreat, we would, you know, keep that participation count only veterans. It could go towards transportation to getting the veteran to the retreat. There's a number of ways that we would target just the veterans and how we serve the veterans if the grant was, you know, specific to that.
I have a client, and they're a chain of bowling centers. Mm-hmm. The one in Coram is part of it.
Okay.
And they are very, very big in bowling for veterans.
Oh, really?
And they've raised in 15 years almost $500,000.
Wow.
He and the owner is the president of the Bowling for Veterans National. His name is John Laspina. And he gave $15,000 to Stony Brook.
Okay.
for the veterans home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if you put something together, I would be happy to send it to him and see if there's anything he could do.
That would be incredible.
How much money do you look for?
As much as we can get, you know, that's I hate to nuts. Say it like yeah. that. I, you know, like I hate to sound, you know,
if you say 5,000 or something like that.
Yes. We've gotten some donations that are 2,500 or 5,000 or 10,000, 12,000. You know, there's,
well, just put something together because he is very big. We just did we're in the process of doing a story about this because he's raised close to $500,000.
That's amazing.
And it's all for the veterans.
That's amazing.
So we have to have something for
them. Yeah, yes, absolutely.
So put it together and I'll try to make it happen.
Thank you. Thank you. I definitely will.
And he's a good guy. I mean, he really is. He does a lot of work for them. So what other grants would you be looking for? For what? How much more money are you looking? Well, if you're doing an event, what are you looking for from that? How can that help you? I mean, if you raise $1,000 or $2,000 or $10,000, what does that buy you?
So we, when we look for funding, most of our funding is going towards programming, which entails setting up the day's retreat and making sure that, you know, the veterans are fed. And there's no cost. Anytime a veteran comes to the ranch, they don't pay anything. Same goes with first responders. You know, this is all at no cost to them. You know, we'll provide a breakfast, we'll provide lunch, and we work with them all day. Right now, a full day retreat runs from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And during that time, you are learning about the horses, you're working with the horses, and, you know, getting the full on experience of, you know, taking care of them and, you know, and working with them.
Is this continuous for a veteran? He can stay as long as he wants? Or
absolutely. Yep. Yep. You can come as often as you want or as little as you want. You know, some people have come once, some people come every weekend.
But it's mostly veterans that come, right?
Yep. It's veterans and first responders. We get both. You know, we get retired police. We have some active police. We have fire department. We have EMTs. You know, we have a former dispatch. You know, there's, we get a lot of people from the first responder community, but the majority of our participants are military.
Juliet Hackett, Program Director at the Warrior Ranch. And the phone number is 631-740-9049, and it's warriorranchfoundation.org. Thank you. This is Ron Gold from Marketing Works.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.